Today we heard about the kingdom. And basically two things about the kingdom. First, that it starts small. It always starts small, like a seed or like a shoot. But then that it grows. The kingdom grows big, like a majestic tree. And when we think more about those two elements, especially what we heard in our first reading, there's a shoot that was planted on a mountain, and we try to read that not only understanding the actual meaning, but maybe the meaning behind, the symbolic or prophetic meaning of that. Think about a shoot, a tree planted on a mountain. We can see a prophecy of the cross. The cross is precisely that. A tree, the tree of the cross, the wood of the cross planted on the mountain, on Mount Calvary. And that is the most beautiful way of understanding the kingdom. The kingdom is not first and foremost some institution full of rules, things that we have to do. But the kingdom is a presence of Christ himself. That Christ that we know, that's why we're here, that same Christ that we ought to know every day more. That Christ that we should try to love every day more. That one man, the only one who could claim not only to be a perfect man, but also perfect God, who came 2,000 years ago, who preached, did amazing things, died on a cross and rose because he was God. And because of that, that one man and God who is still alive, present in our midst, trying to not only remind us of what we know happened in the past, but of what happens today. For this is extremely important, and at times we might, in some ways, forget that our faith is not only about beautiful and important and inspiring events from the past. Of course it's that. But it's more than that. It is about that same action of God happening today. It is, in other words, not only about that one tree on that one mountain 2,000 years ago, but it is about that same tree or a shoot of that tree being present in our midst. And where do we see that? Where do we see, in some way, a mountain with a tree, our altar? This is our Calvary, and there is a tree, the wood of the cross planted in the center of our mountain, of our altar. This is where, if you will, everything becomes absolutely concrete, real, tangible for us today. Not just a memory, not just an idea, beautiful as it is, but a powerful reality that changes or ought to change our life today. This is, to use a simple phrase, where the rubber hits the road. It happens here. And that's why we should be filled with awe and reverence and gratitude for the sacraments. Because while we can read about these events, or while we can pray in our own and have great and necessary experiences, where we can do many other things, it is first and foremost, there is not even a comparison, really, here when we celebrate the Mass and the sacraments, where that salvation happens again for us. And that's why we should be, as well, very grateful for the actual place, the physical place, where this becomes a reality before our eyes every day, for our church. The church, the physical church, is a heart of a parish community. And the altar is the heart of that heart. Jacob, in the book of Genesis, was moved by an experience he had, and he said something very beautiful that, if we think about this place, I think can resonate deeply within our hearts. He said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And this place is awesome not only because, yes, there are nice colors and many other beautiful elements of design, but because of what happens here, because of a presence. Blessed John Henry Newman, whom probably many of us know, a great convert from the Anglican Church, very influential, who wrote many beautiful things in the 19th century, he wrote a novel about this convert, quote-unquote convert. Obviously, he was trying to express his own experience of conversion. And writing about someone else, he described in a beautiful way what's the essence of who we are as Catholics, what we find, the treasure that we find in the Church. So I want to read that because I think it can help us appreciate what the Lord is saying to us. He said, "The truth flashed on him, fearfully, yet sweetly. It was the Blessed Sacrament. It was the Lord incarnate who was on the altar. It was the great presence." And pay attention to this part. "Which makes a Catholic Church different from every other place in the world. Which makes it, as no other place can be, holy. This place, this actual place, this our church is holy because of the great presence of God. And that's why we have that inscription in the top of the chancel, Sanctus, 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 that if someone knows no Latin at all, can totally know that that's the one hymn that we sing at every Mass that we repeat three times, right? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of hosts, this is where he dwells. That's why the ceiling is blue with stars and crosses, because this is the gate of heaven. This is the Holy of Holies, and the altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a sacred altar." And that's why if you were here at the dedication Mass, you saw that the Archbishop did something amazing. First, holy water, like in baptism. Then chrism, confirmation. Then the Eucharist offered there. A full initiation, if you will, transforming this beautiful table into a sacred altar, the presence of Jesus himself. And from this altar, which is a place of sacrifice, we receive life. That's why the materials ought to be noble, like this marble, earthen kind of stone that reminds us also of the tomb. But there is a lamb where we receive the sacrament, seven cups, and that lamb was present on our previous altar, as well as the altar stone with a relic. Sadly, we don't know whose relic it is, but that's inside the new altar. We have six new relics of saints who are interceding for us. So really, there is a lot here, a lot of holiness, a lot of sacredness, a lot of love, a lot of beauty, because this is the house of God and the gate of heaven. Love and reverence should be really our response to this wonderful gift. Our participation in the liturgy and in Mass is not first and foremost about rules. You know, where is the line, where can you stand, and all of that. It is like in any relationship of love. You know there are things you do, you know there are things you don't do. Yeah, of course, at times you need to be taught, we all learn. But it is about love and learning how to love in an ordered and beautiful and reverent way. That's why, to mention a couple of things, punctuality is a must. I mean, who would like to be late to the sacrifice of Calvary? That's not even a thought. We should be here not only on time, even that approach is always risky, but be here with plenty of time to prepare our heart to have a moment of love. That's why when we come to Mass, we should dress up as nicely as possible. Again, it's not about a rule. It's not about law. It's about love. It's about the awareness of the holiness and the importance and the beauty of what happens here. Therefore, we don't dress as if this is a stop in between running errands and going to a barbecue, but we dress as to be with a holy one. This is why, simply put, we just want to love and adore as much as we can. As we said in the psalm, it is good to give thanks to you. And what is the Eucharist? It's the thanksgiving. It is good to give thanks. It is good to celebrate the Mass. It is good to do the Eucharist. And that's what we're doing right now. So hopefully this Thanksgiving, this Mass will be really a moment of love for us, so that that seed that is coming to us as we celebrate this Mass will actually grow. And so that kingdom can grow in our hearts, and in that way grow as well in our families and in the whole world.